Genesis chapter 6. I started a series a little while ago on lessons on listening, if you'll remember. And we had dealt with Adam and the last time, so lessons on listening. Today's lessons on listening, Noah. Just to remind us of the lessons that we learned from Adam, very simply, not to ignore the information that is given to us from God, and it's reliable and trustworthy and faithful. And then also we had looked at some factors that might possibly impact our ability to hold on to the information that God has given to us, and to not let those impact us. Today in Genesis chapter 6, we read a little bit about Noah, and let's see what we can learn as far as listening to God from the example of Noah. And again, these aren't all the lessons, and I'm sure as you read the scriptures, you see different things. There's some things that I saw that blessed me, so I thought we'd look at those. Genesis 6, chapter 6, verse 1, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, there's some stuff going on here that is not that clear as to what exactly was going on in the world, but there's some stuff here and it's quite evil. Let's just jump to, well, keep your hand here if you want, turn to Jude. I was going to say chapter 1, just turn to Jude, the only chapter. Just going to look at a couple of verses here to kind of get an idea of the times of Noah, just so we know what was going on there. So in Jude, we read in verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Now these angels here are associated with the judgment of the great day. Even verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, so was in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So there's some kind of strange flesh, unnatural desire amongst these beings, these angels, and that is, and they're compared to that, what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me read to you from this book here, Great Cloud of Witnesses by E.W. Bullinger. Just want to read a couple of paragraphs to you concerning these angels. And these are all referenced by scriptures here. I won't mention the scriptures. I'll just read to you the attributes here of these angels. There are certain facts which we must take as being settled, for we have given the evidence more than once that some time before the days of Noah, certain angels fell from their high estate. They are called sons of God. They are called spirits. They are called angels. And he has many references after those statements, just if you're interested at some point. At some time in the history of the world, these angels fell. They were disobedient. They sinned. Again, scripture references. They kept not their first estate or principality, but they left their own habitation, their spiritual body, potentially. Whatever this was, these angels left it. Whatever this may mean or imply, we do not know, nor can anyone tell us. We do not always understand God, but happy are we if we believe God, as we most certainly do here. We will not allow our reason to cause us to disbelieve his word. So there's stuff going on there with the sons of God, these angels, leaving their first, that was happening in the days of Noah. Let's go back to Genesis 6 again, please. So keeping that in mind, it's interesting because when we get to some stuff here, it's important for us to understand the days of Noah. Okay. Verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120. And according to E.W. Bullinger, this is referring to Adam, the rest of Adam's life. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. So whatever is going on there, whatever it is, I don't know if it's cohabitation between spiritual beings. I don't know. All I know is that it's unnatural, strange flesh, fornication. These are the kind of things that were happening in the days of Noah, that Noah was living in the middle of. And God saw, verse 5, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Nice. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now, keep your fingers here. We're going to jump to Luke chapter 17, please. Learning a little bit more about the days of Noah and exactly what he had to contend with. Luke chapter 17. So bad things were happening. It was evil. In Luke 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, again, we're talking about the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. So what was it like in the days of the Son of Noah? So in the days of Noah. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. So what was going on? Life. Normal life. They were living life. They were getting married. They were doing this and doing that. And all of a sudden, all gone. Verse 28. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat. They drank. They bought. They sold. They planted. They builded. You see, just living life totally oblivious to the spiritual realm. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. You see, the overwhelming context of these records is that there was judgment coming. There was judgment coming, and the people just could not see it. And so the days of Noah compared to Lot, and again, we're talking about here, talking about everything being taken away. So they had no idea what was going to happen. Look at 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter chapter 2. Come on. I know you're in here somewhere, Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, please. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Again, we see the comparison between the days of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah, the same kind of thing, which is we're talking about judgment. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, verse 8, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly, sorry, deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the judgment to be punished. So the, you know, here he's talked about being a preacher of righteousness. We've looked at the days of Noah, what they were like, what they're compared to, and the evil that was going on in that time. So the preaching of righteousness, the thing that Noah was preaching was about the coming judgment, that there was a judgment coming. And guess what? On all accounts, nobody believed him. Nobody believed him. And he had some time. it wasn't like he had a few, 100 years. And so he was a preacher of righteousness. You see, the days of Noah were very, very evil. They're compared to these things being wiped away. People just living their lives, getting married, selling, buying, and all this stuff. And here he was preaching this, and nobody paid any heed to him. Let's go back to Genesis. So the righteousness that he preached, the thing he preached, was about judgment. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. That's verse 7 again. Both the man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Critical verse. Noah walked with God. In the middle of what was going on in the world at that time, and it was pretty evil, here's this man, and he walked with God. Verse 10, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. Here's some information that Noah received when he was listening to God. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So, talking about lessons and listening, you know, this was pretty startling information, wouldn't you say? To Noah? Here he is. Noah, I'm going to destroy the entire earth except for you. Can you imagine receiving information like that? Well, that's what he did. You see, and there's no, and we're not told here about the mechanisms of how God explained that to him. But the clear thing is that it was God's responsibility to give the information, and he's very good at that. And he got through to Noah, and Noah knew exactly the information that he needed, and he listened to it, and guess what? He listened to it without losing his mind. Because this is pretty startling. Can you imagine? Noah, by the way, it's not like, you know, the price of beans is going to go up 10%, so buy all of them now. Yeah, okay, God, thank you. No, I'm going to get rid of everybody else on the earth except for you and your family. Wow, that's pretty startling. So lessons in listening, no matter how startling or unbelievable the information might be, if God is the source, it is reliable, good, and important, and ought not to be ignored. Another lesson which I can see here, the state of the world has nothing to do with God being able to give information. You know, the lesson we learned from Adam about not ignoring information, can you imagine if Noah had ignored this information? See, the same lesson still applies. We wouldn't be here today. That's how startling, how important, how critical. And Noah, the response from Noah, you know, and that's what I've noticed here when I was reading these verses. There's something missing in the text here. And what's missing in the text is Noah saying, are you kidding me? No, you don't see any sign of that. Let's keep reading. Verse 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of it shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. So all those who need, you know, air to breathe will die from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. So there's no indication there of Noah, you know, being totally unable to receive the information. But with thee, verse 18, will I establish my covenant. The first covenant in the Bible. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. And listen to this verse. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now that is the pattern in Noah's life. Here's all this information, and it is not just your, you know, I don't want to say revelation of any kind is run of the mill. I don't mean it that way. I mean it's not just about some incident. It's about the entire world being destroyed, and Noah just does exactly what God tells him. There's another great lesson. Do exactly what God says. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. Don't change it. And that's a lesson maybe Eve could have learned from Noah. She didn't. Genesis 7, we're just going to read verse 5. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Again, you can read the first verses there about what God had asked him to do. Genesis chapter 8, verse 13. So everything that needed air dies, except for Noah and his family. 150 days of the flood. And then verse 13. It came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried off from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the earth. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. What a great promise. Wonderful promise. Why? Because Noah listened to God, and he did exactly what he was told. In chapter 9, verse 9, And behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl of the air, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the heavens, in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. So all this because Noah had walked with God, listened to God, and took him exactly at his word without being startled, and did exactly what he was told. The entire earth was blessed as a result of that. You want to talk about the blessings of listening to God? This man listened to God, and we're blessed today because of what Noah did. And he took heed to what God had told him. Look at Ezekiel chapter 14. There's a few interesting verses here which talk about, you know, God must have thought of Noah. Ezekiel 14, verse 12. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. He says that four times, by the way, in this context. You can read the rest of it. He said, Noah, he mentions Noah. So he obviously, God's viewpoint of Noah is pretty good, of the man's life, the kind of man that he was. And what do we learn from Noah? He found grace in the eyes of God. God spoke to him and didn't question God. He just did what God told him to do. And as a result, God says, well, that's a wonderful man. Doesn't take much, does it, to please God? Look at Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. You're very familiar with this verse, I know. Verse 5, 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear or reverence, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah had to believe God regarding things that had never been spoken of before. And as we saw, he did that without ever questioning God. He didn't know how to build a boat, an ark. He didn't know how to do that. A flood to destroy the whole earth. These weren't things that were ever spoken of before. His family only to be left in all the face of the earth because of all the evil. See, God's solution to all that evil, there was only one solution. God could come up with that solution. And we don't know what's going on, all this thing about the angels and all this. But it was evil. God's solution was to get rid of all the progeny that resulted as a result of all that stuff that was happening. That was the only solution that was available. That wasn't something that had happened before. He had to believe God regarding that. See, what he knew from God, what had not yet been seen. And by the five senses, people were marrying, crops being planted, great advances in technology were going on. And all of it was for naught. And he was told that, we're told that it was like that would be in the days of the Son of Man. And I was thinking about that lesson about startling information that, is very much outside the ordinary information. Now, what startling information do we know about from the scriptures that others just do not see? Well, let's start with a very simple one. It's more blessed to give than to receive. That'll startle any financial advisor that you talk about. It's always more blessed to give than to receive. How about eternal life? That you can have eternal life. That's pretty startling, isn't it? How about that our bodies are going to be changed, a twinkling of an eye, we're going to hear a trumpet, and we're going to be with the Lord forever? And that our labor will not be in vain. And here we are in this world. What's going on in the world right now? People are getting married. People buy. People sell. They live their lives. They go about their various days. They worship the earth. They worship this. They praise all the great scientific advances. And yet, here we are, been given information that someday there is going to be great judgment. Sounds pretty much like the days of Noah, doesn't it? Things are happening. Things are going on. So, how much do we take to heart this information? How much is that information, which others might put in the category of startling information, how much do we take heed to it? How much do we believe it? How much are we willing to not even change to it, add, or anything, just accept it as is and live our lives according to that and make sure as many people as possible find out about it the way Noah tried to do, because he was a preacher of righteousness. No one listened to him. So the lessons in listening from Noah, listen to God does not necessarily mean, this is the last lesson in this session, listening to God does not mean the world will listen to you. Our job is to remain faithful to information that we know is critical, good, and reliable. The world's response may be ambivalence. Ours is to be faithfulness. Are we willing to be faithful regardless of the results? Noah certainly was. No matter how startling or unbelievable the information might be, if God is the source, it is reliable, good, and important and ought not to be ignored. The state of the world has nothing to do with God being able to give information or not. And we're to do exactly what God says. Don't add to it, subtract, or change it. So some wonderful lessons in listening from our brother Noah.